ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what a big down. How we do it?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it is Brian behind the glass. It's a Taco Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees and ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Did you boys get tacos today?
No, sir. Did not.
Shame on you. Brian?
Dinner tonight.
Good work there. Good recovery. Tempe tacos. Helps the alliteration. I'll say that. Busy show today. We're also going to cut out a little bit early. Get out of the way for the 12th man. Aggie basketball. Foundation of love. Built on love. They're gonna take us off the air at 5:30. So we're gonna head out 30 minutes early. Spring training underway. There's a superstar that could potentially be on the market. Would it interest you? Cash him or trash him? Jonathan Martin's a liar. Richie Incognito is vindicated. I don't know. It's also the franchise tag window opening day, which is a big deal in the NFL. Maybe not around these parts, at least this year. But I was thinking about this, Blankers, because this is what I do. I sit down in a chair and I put my hand over my chin and I say, you know, it's time to think. And I was thinking about the Astros and just, you know, the chatter going on this morning and Altuve. By the way, Altuve's not even on the schedule to take ground balls. Like it seems like he's a full-time outfielder. We'll see. You know, maybe it's just the experiment, see how the experiment goes and then reevaluate in a week or two. But it is interesting that all of his defensive assignments on the schedule is all on the outfield. None on the infield. Chatter about where does Jordan hit in this lineup. I've noticed people are having that conversation now after we had that conversation. It's just, you know, the full squad reported. Pitchers and catchers reported last week. It's that time of year. Football season's over. Baseball is in the air. And I'm always excited for baseball season. I'm always excited for opening day, as I know you are as well. But I'm more fired up this season than in recent years. And it took me a while because I wasn't thinking about why. Like, hey, Branham, why are you more excited this year than in years past? And I think it hit me in my moment of thought as I stared into the mountains in Arizona. I think it's because they're being doubted. Like, the Astros are being doubted unlike since when? Like, 14? Like, no one expected anything from them in 14. They didn't really expect them to hit what they did in 2015, making the playoffs, beating the Yankees in the wild card game, advancing. They missed it in 16, but when was the last time the Astros were doubted like they're being doubted now? People are like, oh, they're going to finish third place in the West. The West is no longer theirs. They're going to fade into mediocrity. They're going to fade in away from this golden era. I don't recall a time they've been doubted in the golden era. I think you have to go back to the mid-2010s, and I think that's why I am more fired up for this season than recent years.
Can you say 2018 coming off the cheating scandal with all the negative publicity? And
it wasn't out yet. It wasn't out yet. It didn't come out until after the World Series of 19.
Okay, so then that following year, I think a lot of people doubted when, you know, after the apologies and all the negative press and how were the players going to deal with it, and this was going to be a boo tour for the entire year, and there were a lot of people doubting, you know, if they were going to be able to survive all this or how, you know, if they were going to be able to be the same team. Maybe there was doubt there. But I understand what you're saying about doubt. The thing that bothers me the most is I think the American League is very gettable. I think the division is theirs to lose. And it would excite me more if, with all the work that they did do this offseason, if the outfield looked a little better to me, I would be very excited about the possibilities of this team. Because I think everywhere else, they're extremely talented. They're deeper than people think. They got backups in the infield positions. Their pitching staff is really good. I have concerns about that starting outfield, as you know. But overall, I think I'm excited about baseball coming back for sure, and I'm hopeful that this team like does the little things like Chaz coming back, and maybe if he does, I'll be a little more content with the outfield. But you know, I believe that this team can still win. I just believe that with a little tweak here or there, I think they could still win it all.
I would maybe 2020 And they weren't good that year. I mean, they limped into an expanded playoff. They were 29-31 and then got hot in the postseason. And it was, right. I mean, a 60-game year. It was a dumb season. But they got hot in the postseason, nearly came back from 3-0, forced that Game 7 against Tampa that COVID year. But I don't think a team that featured Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, George Springer, Michael Brantley, Framber Valdez, Zach Greinke, Lance McCullers, Christian Javier, and Justin Verlander was doubted. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that way. You may not have. I felt like there were people that were they were looking and expecting this team to fail. They were thinking that this team used, you know, cheated enough that that's the only reason why they didn't realize. You know, I don't think they wanted to realize or rationalize that the guys you just named were part of what made up what was a really good team. But at the same time, I mean, I had concerns about how they were going to handle everything. And maybe the COVID year was a blessing because they didn't have to. And with time passing, people eased up a little bit more than if they did have to go through a full season with full stadiums and everything that they went through.
Yeah, I guess I never put a whole lot of stock in that. And I know that maybe I was in the minority there. I don't know. But I never really felt like that was going to impact them a ton. But maybe some people were on the other side of that. But where would you stack up this season in terms of your excitement versus years in the recent memory?
I think I'm at a 6.5. I really have deep concerns about the inability to have bats in the outfield. And I know Altuve will be out there. The whole starting Chaz and Jake bothers me. The depth of the outfield, whether Gamble is going to be it's possible for him to kind of pick up where he left off or not. I'm not leaning that way. That if they, like I said, if they had gotten one more bat, I would up that by 1.5 or so, and I'd really be excited because I believe the rest of the roster is good. The outfield bothers me enough that I'm at a 6.5.
Okay. I feel like you're buzz-killing my enthusiasm here.
I'm just
being
honest.
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. I don't just, like, my excitement doesn't equal the team's talent. Like, whenever the Astros are really, really good, is my excitement for the start of the regular season at a 10. Like, to me, those things maybe have some correlation, but not total correlation. Those things are not the same. Like, my excitement is being brewed not because this is the best Astros team they've ever had in franchise history. It might be the worst Astros team they had since 2016, to be matter of fact about it. My excitement comes from the fact that they're being doubted. Oh, all of these computers and the analytics predict the Astros to finish third, slightly behind Seattle and Texas. Oh, the Astros are not going to recover from losing another pillar of the golden era in Alex Bregman. All of the doubters is what has me fired up for the year. And I think I crave the Astros winning a lot, and I always crave them to win, but like how much fever do I have about it? It's higher this year.
Yeah, and I think that I like the fact that in most of the years of this golden era for me, it's like you go in knowing that basically I think it's theirs to lose. I think that they are so loaded and they are so talented that's the excitement, that they are going to dominate and I'm going to enjoy watching them play, you know, games every single night. And this team right here gives me doubts to where it's a little less. I understand where you're coming from because, yeah, it's always great to, you know, prove people wrong. But for me, it's just if they were in the same position as a lot of those other years, I'd be really jacked up about the fact that I think that they can dominate baseball again. But I'd like to see them do at least one more thing before the season starts.
Yeah. To me, it's more the chip on the shoulder. The chip on the shoulder has me fired up that they go out there and they prove all the doubters wrong, which sounds like you might be a little bit of a doubter. You sound like a little bit of a hater here, Blankers.
I'm not hating or doubt, but there is concern.
Yeah, you doubt in the outfield.
Concern. Yeah, in the outfield, there's definite concern. That means the bottom of the lineup, there's concern for me. The 7, 8, 9 spots are definitely something that I am worried about. And then now it's about how guys play between, you know, in spring training, that maybe someone breaks out or someone steps up. And now we've got someone to talk to that looks like they didn't have to make a trade or get an extra outfielder. But until then, I'm going to temper my excitement a little bit.
Okay, be buzzkill about it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Be the wet blankers about it. Todd the Show's on YouTube, which is maybe a story within itself. But Todd the Show says the entire Major League Baseball doesn't have much going on in the outfield. I do think that the outfield offense around the game is probably down than where we expected it or where we saw it like 10 years ago. But still, yeah, this is still a below average offensive outfield. Rocky, your excitement is for a trash outfield. No, it's not. My excitement isn't because of the product that the Astros are putting out there. My excitement is because everybody's doubting them, and I have a chip on my Houston shoulder. My broad, beautiful, muscular shoulders is why I have the attitude that I have. 713-780-ESPN. There was no fans in the stand for the Boo Tour in 2020. Yeah, we cleared that up. Texter, even before we started the show, Texter in all capital letters, Jordan Rule numero uno is designated hitter only. Which it does seem like the Astros are getting closer and closer to putting him in that role. Joe Espada, which is crazy. Like, I've been listening to Joe Espada out in West Palm Beach, and all he talks about whenever he mentions Jordan Alvarez is, my number one focus is keeping the big man healthy. Where was that last year?
Yeah.
Like, well, we've been telling you to do that, Joe. Why did it take you until your second year as a manager that you're just now coming to these strokes of brilliance where, yeah, we're going to keep Jordan Alvarez healthy? Okay. Way to go, Joe. Fine. I'm glad that you finally learned that going into your second season as a big league manager.
This is, you know, this, Jerry, this is the equivalent of the Angels just now figuring out with Mike Trout they should probably take it easy on him defensively because he's so important when he's not in the lineup, they suck more. Like, what took you so long? Like, Joe Espada, what took you so long? How do you look at this team and know how important that big man is? And then whether it be that Bagwell or others start the train in motion to say, we want to see him play about 50% of the games in the outfield before the start of last season. And you're like, okay, if are you sure you want to do that? But I also think to some degree he was driving that. I think that he wanted to play the outfield and he likes being out there. And maybe he learned a lesson too because of how many close calls he had.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What is your level of excitement for the Houston Astros going into 2025? Blankers and I are, I wouldn't say we're on polar opposites here. We're not complete opposite ends of the spectrum. But I'm uber excited because of the chip on these Houston shoulders. Blankers is about a 6.5 because he doesn't love the outfield, which is fair. Where are you in your excitement for the Astros? Busy show. Jonathan Martin made up. Bullygate. Franchise tag windows. We'll cash them or trash them a little bit later. Superstar in the NBA could be available in the summer. Would you be interested in said superstar? And also, you know, you see all these off-season grade blankers, like different publications do their, which who cares? Like, those things aren't really real. But what they had to say about the Astros made me think of an interesting question. 713-780-ESPN. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Beast, ESPN975, ESPN925.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Your excitement for Astros opening day. I'm ready to prove all the doubters wrong. XX Ron says they're going to win the American League. I think they have a shot. I think the better goal or more attainable goal is to win the division. I really want to win the division this year because they're being picked to finish third.
I
want to tick them off, Seattle and Texas fans.
From the perspective of like that kind of the motivation you're talking about, like, I have bigger aspirations that every year I want this team's goal and have a realistic chance to get to the and win the World Series. I think that the division is one that I think a lot of people are sleeping on them. So, from that perspective, I do have the motivation of proving everybody wrong. They could win the division. I just think that they're good enough with a little tweak here or there that they could actually compete to get to another World Series.
Yeah, I get the outfield offense ain't great, although you did add the greatest Astro of all time to that outfield mix, so that's going to improve the offense. You don't win games based on the outfield offense, though. You win games, obviously the pitching defense side of it, removed from this conversation. You don't win games based on how your three outfielders are performing. You win games offensively based on 1 through 9. So I think that to looking specifically at the outfield, be like, well, this is the reason they're going to lose 75 games, I think it's being a little short-sighted. I think it's being very specific about one area of the team when left field, center field, right field production doesn't equal offensive success, like 1 through 9 equals offensive success.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at this entire golden era run, and there's always been, you know, the one like sure thing out that you had to deal with was Maldi in the 9 hole. But other than that, I just think that they've had more players on paper and for the most part that have performed like guys fully capable of being above average major league players 1 through 8. And so it concerns me a little bit that until proven otherwise, that the last three spots in the batting order in the lineup are worrisome to me.
Who are those three for you?
Jake, Chaz, and I mean, it's not Altuve.
It'd be Dubon, right?
It'd be Dubon. It'd be like
Dubon. Yeah, because again, okay. I had a conversation with a buddy today that believes that Dubon is a 300 hitter and should be in the lineup more times than not. And I'm like, I just think that was fool's gold. I think that while Altuve was out, the timing worked out beautifully that he got hot. But more times than not, when you watch his at-bats and how many times that he chases the first two really bad and then gets caught off on his front foot and things like that, that I think he's best at doing what he does, which is be a utility player.
How old was the guy you were talking to, about 55?
No, he wasn't, Jeremy. But
how old was he?
Why does it matter?
Because he used batting average as an offensive metric of like high success.
40-something? I don't know.
I was pretty close.
I mean,
I was pretty
I'm
good.
I'm guessing, but okay.
I can. I think I can come within 3 to 5 years of a man whenever they're talking baseball based on how they're talking baseball. I think I just proved it. That was pretty good, right?
No, I think there's a job at a carnival somewhere for you.
I think that was pretty good, Brian. Pretty good.
It wasn't bad.
Pretty good.
I think there is something to that because, like, if someone quotes like ex Woba, they're not going to be over 40 years old, or at least not like, you know, over 50. So there is something to that. If they quote batting average and ERA first, they're probably of the older generation.
Yeah, I think I hit pretty good now. Chaz McCormick is kind of like the wild card here because I don't think Chaz McCormick was very good last year. Obviously, he wasn't very good last year. But Chaz McCormick prior to last season has been an above-average baseball player. So if offensively. So if he's an above-average offensive player in 2025, which is a major if. I'm not predicting that. I'm not saying he's going to be that. But Chaz McCormick every single year prior to this past season has been above-average offensively. Like that's a fact. Now, last year, he was a disaster. He was awful. He was really, really, really stinking bad. So if you get Chaz McCormick from the first 3 years of his career, not the Chaz McCormick from last year, well, now you have two weak spots in the lineup. Jake Myers and Mauricio Dubon, which I don't think either guy is capable of being an above-average offensive player. But now you have seven guys that are above average. That's not dreadful. Like, that's still okay. That's not bad. Like, if you go back to when the Astros won the World Series over the Phillies, I think we overrate that offense, especially with what you were rolling out there by the end of the season. Like you mentioned Martin Maldonado. Okay, like that's an obvious, not very good. We forget that David Hensley was DHing. David Hensley DH'd in the World Series winning Game 6 over Philadelphia. Not an above-average offensive player. Chaz McCormick, who we are dogging, was in that starting nine. An aging Yuli Gurriel in that starting nine. Jeremy Pena, who is average as an offensive player, he was batting second. Now, he did hit an absolute heater and was on fire that postseason, but it's not like that offense was this, you know, juggernaut 1 through 9 either.
Yeah, but you're bringing up a DH in a playoff situation based on, you know, injuries and everything else. Chaz was having a different kind of year altogether than what he put together last season. And you know, we're talking about a team that was deep into the postseason by that time. I'm talking about a team that concerns me because right now I don't know that they have the potency with those guys in the outfield to consistently do what they need to do anything more than compete for the division.
Sure. I just don't think that you look around Major League Baseball and you see every single team and even every single contender that 1 through 9 has an above-average offensive player. I believe every contender has one or two offensive players, if not more, that are below average. And they're usually at defensive premium positions like center field, in which this case is Jake Meyers. Dubon, you know, second base is important. It's not shortstop, center field, catcher. So maybe it's like that second tier of important defensive players. But I just don't think you see many contenders around baseball where 1 through 9, you go down the batting order, you're like, every single one of these guys is above average. Now, again, Chaz McCormick, I think, is a huge wild card in this. Because if Chaz McCormick is who he was from 21 through 23 and not who he was in 24, well, now you have 7 above average offensive players. You can live with 2 below average. 3 below average, it gets a little bit dicey. It gets a little bit hairy. And then, to your point, like the injury concerns with that as well.
Yeah, I think if you look at the lineup right now, too, the other thing is, you know, we're hoping Chaz kind of reverts back to 2 years ago. I think Jeremy Peña is another guy that has to, not that he has to be all world, but you're hoping that he turns into more, a little bit more than he's been since he got off to the great start and did everything he did in that one postseason. I think that offensively, there's plenty to look at and say you were kind of hoping and expecting for more. So I think those two guys, more than anybody else, if they're going to stick with this lineup, and right now it looks like they are, that those guys have the capability of kind of turning this thing in the right direction even more in their favor, and maybe, you know, for me, winning me over a little bit more to say, hey, if those guys, if Chaz can get back to even where his career averages are, and Jeremy Peña can be a little bit more consistent with some pop, then, yeah, maybe it's easier for me to look past the two guys that are going to be a problem at the end of the lineup.
Yeah, I think that is critical, too. Like, Chaz is a wild card. Peña, I don't need, like, major offensive improvement from Peña, like you said, because I think that would be unrealistic. But if he's slightly better, if he's a 105 OPS guy instead of a 100 OPS guy, the guy that I'm looking at that could take this offense to, I don't want to say new heights because now I'm making it too lofty, but who I think can elevate this offense with, like, I think realistic improvement and development would be Yiner Diaz. Like, if Yiner Diaz does become the best offensive catcher in baseball, which some people put him top 5 already, but if he combines, like, the average of last season, the power of his rookie season, and becomes a guy who hits 285, 290 with 25, 30 home runs, okay, now you're talking about a much different lineup because you're combining that with a Yordan, with a Christian Walker who's going to hit some dongs, with Isak Paredes. Don't spell that on Twitter. People might get mad at you. He's going to hit some dongs. Altuve, you hope, doesn't regress a whole lot in this later stage of his career. I think Yiner Diaz is like the if we eliminate Chaz from like him being good or bad, which Chaz are you going to get? But which young player can develop to take this offense to a new level? For me, it's easily Yiner Diaz.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think that, you know, we had these grandiose expectations, kind of like Jeremy Peña, when we saw what he did in not even his first complete season in the bigs, and then he fell off. And then we were questioning, is he catching too much? And then we were looking for reasons why. Now, if he can just kind of settle in and, you know what he knows and what he's learned along the way and be more like what he was 2 years ago, similar to Chaz, but I think he has a lot more upside, that, yeah, he could also be a guy that could really change things because now you've got, with the absence of Tucker, you've got a guy that might be able to pick up a lot of the slack left by the absence of Tucker.
Yep. I think he's critical. Rocky, he doesn't like this offense. He's not a big Dubon guy either. Dubon is a 240 hitter at best with no power and a 600 OPS. I don't think that Dubon's an everyday starter offensively either. I think he's probably selling him a little bit short, calling him a 240 hitter. Like, Dubon's 261 career hitter, 674 OPS, which, I mean, OPS plus of 87 ain't great. Dubon is a guy who makes a lot of contact, never walks, hits for very little power. I don't think that his bat plays as an everyday starter. Now, why he doesn't kill you if he is an everyday starter is because he is a gold glove, capable, elite defense at second base. And you can live with that if the other 7 guys are really good. Like, if Meyers and Dubon are in the everyday 9, which we're not, I mean, who knows if they are? Like, the Astros can make a surprise trade, which maybe they make a surprise trade. But if you run out the starting 9 right now that we're assuming it is, because we had a text earlier, I'm not even sure who's playing second base right now. I think the opening day lineup right now would have Dubon at second, Altuve in left, if that experiment holds and they don't move him back to the dirt. Dubon's your starting second baseman. And you can live in my mind with Dubon and Myers in the bottom of your order playing elite defense if all the other things click, right? If Chaz reverts back to who he was 2 years ago in the years prior. If Yiner takes that next step in his development. If Payne gets just a little bit better. We're not calling for huge major improvement. Just a little bit better. Yordan has a good year. Walker hits to his norms. Paredes hits to his norms. Altuve hits to his norms. I think you have the makings of a good lineup. Actually, they would be underrated whenever you paint it in that scenario.
Yeah, and maybe you're right. I just look at this from the standpoint of I still believe that some of these guys we've been talking about, I think a lot, aside from Jake, I just don't think Jake's capable offensively to the levels that I don't know what anybody expected, but I do give him credit for being an above-average defensive outfielder. But I think, like you said, I think in the best-case scenario, I believe Jake's best spot is a fourth outfielder. If you can, I think Chaz, especially if Chaz kind of finds it a little bit, I'm perfectly happy with Chaz in center field. Now, it's just like you said, if there's a surprise big trade, I'm really excited. Because if they get themselves a legit outfielder with everything else that they have, and especially if I believe that Chaz, even if Chaz isn't quite what he was 2 years ago, if Chaz is playing center field where his bat doesn't have to be as much as expected out of a right fielder, now I feel even better. If Chaz is in center and they get a right fielder somehow, now I'm really excited. And, of course, there's the outside hope, just like you said, with a big trade, where if one of these guys steps up, if it's Trammell, there's something that, you know, we're missing or people were missing that maybe he finds. Or if it's, you know, Gamble, which I don't expect, you know, to be a consistent everyday player. Or if it's someone like a DeCenzo or others that are already in, on this roster, then maybe that's a way to do it too. But I just believe they're so close that it's frustrating to me because I think that they could get over the top.
See, I think they're going to – I think we spend too much time with the starting nine. Joe Espada is going to have at least 140 unique lineups. Like we'd even mentioned Ben Gamble. Like Ben Gamble is probably going to start 50% of the time against right-handed pitching, maybe more. Maybe he's your everyday right fielder against right-handed pitching, and then Chaz and Jake Myers are fighting for who's in center field. We spend way too much talking about the starting nine when I think they're going to have a lot of unique lineups based on who's pitching for them, based on who's pitching for the opponent. I think they have a chance to be a pretty good offense. There are a lot of ifs. There are a lot of ifs, and maybe more ifs than you'd be comfortable with for opening day just around the corner. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What if that trade isn't for an outfielder, though, Blankers? What if it's for a third baseman?
Well, then I hope that our third baseman can play the outfield.
Well, no. I mean, it'd be third baseman. He plays third. Isak plays second.
Okay. Well, that doesn't...
What elevates your starting nine?
It does. It makes the offensive lineup better. I guess defensively they're going to be fine, but I still believe that until Chaz shows that what he's going to do offensively, I do think that, you know, that those two spots are still going to be holes in the lineup offensively.
713-780-ESP. We'll get your thoughts on this. Also, the Athletic had this write-up. They gave the Astros an off-season grade of C, whatever. Who cares about off-season grades? Not a great grade, but whatever. In the write-up, though, is what really caught me. What they said, and then also it led me to the question, do you think the Astros will have more or less wins than they did last year? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at doing so many things right here in the Houston Med Center. He does the NeoGraft procedure, and he does the PRP treatments, all things that help you get your hair back. He does a lot of other things, too. If you're looking for gifts for your significant other, spa treatments, Botox, even plastic surgery, he's phenomenal. But what I have personal experience from is doing the NeoGraft procedure and the PRP treatments. And it's better than anything that you've seen on TV or heard about in terms of getting your hair restored because it's your own hair. The simple truth is you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. So he repurposes some of that where you need it most. You see the results and you see them starting right away. And then in about 6 to 9 months, you see the true results. And you are so excited about the fact that it's your own hair. And because it's taken from a spot that it's never going to go away, you're going to have it for the rest of your life. And because you're listening to me now and you're interested in Doc Linville, if you go to 975hair.com, you get a free consultation with Doc and his staff to explain everything to you that normally costs $150 for people off the street. All you got to do is set up that first consultation at 975hair.com and then go in. Don't, with no expectations, with no worries. Go in knowing that you're not going to sign on any dotted line, not going to have any money out of pocket or commitment to be made, but you're going to have the best in the business explain everything to you, and then you can make the decision for yourself. I did it. I couldn't be happier that I did. Granato did it. Several others have done it too. You can be the next in line. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What is your excitement for the Astros? Astros last year, by the way, they had 88 wins on the season. Will they have more or less this year? 713-780-3776. Blankers, less or more than last year?
I'm going to go slightly, I'm going to say slightly more.
Yeah. I'm, see, look, you're, can you raise your excitement level half a point? Give me to an even seven. Give me a seven.
Sure. I'll give you a seven.
Got a seven. Got a seven out of Blankers.
That's as far as I'm going though today.
I think they'll win 90-something games. I think they'll win 90-something games, win the AL West. Where do you stand on it, Brian? North or south of 88?
South. Yeah, I think they're like an 85, 86 win team. I still think that's good enough because of how mediocre the division is to win the division, and then, you know, all bets are, you know, off once you get into the postseason, but I don't see this team being capable of winning 90.
I have noticed a tell on you, Brian.
Okay.
You're usually optimistic about the Texans, and you're usually pessimistic about the Astros.
I mean, at least in our in my time together with you two on this show, that would certainly be true. I mean, okay. But I also think that's also a sign of the two directions the teams are going. I mean, one team has gotten the, we think, the most important position in all sports locked up, and the other position is seeing star players leave every year.
Yeah, and win every year as well.
I mean, got swept by the Tigers.
It's kind of a greater than Rays situation where at least they hang on to the great players for quite a while, and they seem to do what Jeremy said is the common denominator is even when some of those players walk out the door, they still find a way to win.
Yeah, I wish they would be a little bit more Raysy, though. I wish they would trade them before they left for free.
It's hard to even say they've been Raysy. I mean, it was really just Kyle Tucker. That's the only person they've done that with.
I'm saying consistently, though, whether you replenish with trades or not, you still, when those guys walk out the door, you find other means, other ways, do other things to make sure that your team stays consistently good. You found Yiner in a trade where at the time you got him, you didn't even know what he was going to be. You know, they've got guys that have replenished, whether it was noticeable or not, and it wasn't just trading the guys before they walked out the door.
713-780-ESPN. So the Athletic said, you know, offseason grade C, which, you know, they probably weren't happy about the Tucker trade, Bregman leaving. It said, after salary dumping Presley, the payroll is down roughly $25 million from last season, and it's tough not to view the collective offseason moves as knowingly taking a step backward. Houston might be stuck between the present and the future. And that's why I wanted to ask the question, do you think the Astros will have less or more wins this year, 88 wins last year, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Paul, you're in the Hive. What's up, Paul?
Technically correct in English is fewer wins, not less wins.
Cool, thanks.
Fewer modifies nouns and less modifies adjectives.
All right, hang up on Paul. We're not doing grammar. We're a couple of jabronis
brutal.
Who talk on the microphone. Like, we're not journalists. We talk to our people. Our people are our listeners. Like, am I good at grammar? No, I'm not good at grammar. If I was good at grammar, I'd be like an author or a journalist and, like, be a beat writer and stuff like that. I'm a jabroni who talks on the radio. I'm a goofball. Grammar lessons will not keep you on the air with the Killer Bees. You want to talk ball? We can talk ball. We're not doing the past predecessor participle. Grammar. No, this isn't the show for that.
No, I agree with you.
100%. I mean, Jeremy was a former math major, not an English major.
Numbers, not letters. My goodness. Technically, it's this, not that. Get out of here,
dude. That's also like the reality that we as hosts have to face is that when you start a call like that, they realistically think, oh, we can just dial it back into the conversation after
statement. Joel saw my reaction.
Yeah. Like, we're like, you don't? Never mind. Forget it. That ain't going to be a call that we're going to hang on to.
No, this is not an intellectual show. We're not looking for Pulitzers and Nobel Peace Prizes. I don't know if that's even related. Maybe Paul can call back and tell me how that's inaccurate. Grammar lessons on the air? What are you doing, dude? Go pick up a podcast from, like, I don't even know smart people. Who are smart people? Mark Zuckerberg, I guess. Elon Musk. Are they smart? Or are they just, like, kind of lucky? Although, Zuckerberg stole his idea from the Winklevosses, so I don't know how smart he is.
I saw the movie.
Grammar lessons.
If you want great grammar, listen to the Baytown Batty. I'm sure he'll provide you with all the best grammar.
Jeez.
Bullfrog had wings that fly, you know.
This had to be. And Paul, you can call back whenever. We're having fun with you.
Have
but
you
if you ever
seen
lead
a guy with an 0-3 count, not looking like he knows what he's doing.
Oh man. Paul, do feel free to call back, but not today. And if you ever leave with grammar, we're hanging up with you again. I didn't say hanging up on you. I said hanging up with you. Paul, it might not be the show for you, Paul. That has to be the same dude that would talk crap about the Blitz because they would say, what are the odds Wednesday rather than what are the percentages? It might be.
Time do you, well, I already know that by some of the other people that interact with us, but how much time do they have on their hands? Hey, here's an idea. I'm driving, or I've got some time to kill. I'm going to correct guys on the radio for the way that they use English. Cool.
What do you think Paul does for a living? I was going to think maybe like something with spreadsheets in Excel, but those are more numbers than letters. It could be. I'm going to say...
Teacher?
Like, yeah, maybe.
Professor maybe? Like maybe a college
an
professor?
An English major. He like teaches AP journalism. I am one to talk. I could criticize Brian for RBI, RBIs, but that's baseball stuff. That's not grammar. That's baseball stuff. Yeah. I'll pick up an AP style book and an MLA formatting book over the weekend. Check it out for you there, Paul. I think Astros will have more wins this year than last year because they got better first baseman, equal third baseman, won't have a slow start. Tucker missed a lot of games last year, so he doesn't really equate into the future. So I think more wins. There's a vote for more wins. I think the pitching staff is actually a little bit more stable than it was last year at the beginning of the year.
Well, I mean, from the injury standpoint, and we were dealing with guys recovering and then more guys that were going to end up getting injured. That from that standpoint, yes. I think there's questions with some of the later arms, not like later, like eighth and ninth inning, but like some of the lesser than to be used middle reliever type guys. But overall, I'm not going to disagree with that. I think it's a very stable pitching staff.
Yeah, I think that because last year they went through so many pitchers to the start of the year. They went from like worst ERA in baseball to being like, what did they end up like top five, top seven ish? Like they actually finished pretty strong, and hopefully they pick up where they left off there. Now you do have some questions in the bullpen. Caleb Ort's a non-throw. Sean Dubin hasn't been throwing. Like so, there are some questions there too. Lose Tucker and Bregman. Altuve another year older. Myers and Chaz or Dubon in the lineup? Question mark. Better get lights out pitching because this offense will be average at best. Too many ifs. So there's somewhat. He didn't say more or less, but it sounds like he would say less. Did the Astros not sign Hayward? Jordan will be the MVP. No, they didn't sign Hayward. They signed Gamble, which I preferred Hayward over Gamble.
Agreed.
But
he's Padres, right?
And I went to San Diego. Yeah. You know what San Diego means?
Yeah.
You can't say it on the air.
Why combination
not? Don't
of,
make me dump
why
it.
Why not, though? It's the anatomically correct term.
I will dump it.
Okay.
I don't think that it is. I think it's slang for that.
Just the second word is the anatomically correct term for...
Go ahead, try it out.
Part
I won't
of the
get
body.
On now,
no, I'm
but
not
try it out.
Try it out? If you're telling me you're going to dump me, here, let me give it to you anyway.
Well, we have one show here at the station that plans dumps in advance. Let's make it another one.
Somebody does that?
Oh, I caught it today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I yelled to BMAC, like, did he just do that?
They plan the dumps?
Yeah, they plan to have curse words and then dump it out before it gets to air.
What does that mean, plan to do that? Like, you're... Like,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hey, Sean,
exactly
coming
what I
up
said.
In this They'll, segment, I'm yeah. going to drop an F-bomb after this word. Be ready.
Huh. Interesting. A combination of Walker, Paredes, Dubon, or whoever is arguably better than Bregman, Tucker, Singleton. I don't see a negative difference in offense coming. I would throw in the caveat that Tucker missed a lot of games. Like, if you had full-season Tucker, much different story. Gamble's a better hitter than Myers or Dubon. He's a better hitter against righties. I don't know if he's a better hitter against lefties. Myers is actually pretty good against lefties. You said Myers is really more of a fourth outfielder, late inning defensive replacement, which I don't disagree with a ton. I do think he is more than capable of starting against left-handed pitching, though. He hits lefties pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be, you know, a platooning type fourth outfielder, which means you're going to platoon someone else too, that's fine.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Will the Astros win more or less, or whatever Paul said, fewer than 88 games for the Astros? Also, what do you think Paul does for a living? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Slopez says the Astros will win 68 games. 75 says the Astros will win 76 games. XX Ron says 92.5. See, I think the Astros can get to 92 wins. The half win, though, is going to be difficult. Might be the hardest to do.
That's going to be a tough one. Going to have to call it a draw, an extra inning, maybe.
It cost Joe, Sean, and I money last year. We had the Astros over 92.5. Didn't quite get there.
That didn't cost you money. Oh, the number did?
Well, no, I'm saying failing on the, like, that win, that specific win total was bet on, and they obviously fell, what, 4 games short, 4.5?
I thought you meant the game that they banged.
No.
Game 162. I gotcha. 713-780-ESPN. What is Paul's job? Wrong answers only. Paul called in, was giving us a lecture on how to grammar correct. I'm gonna start saying grammar poorly. I think
start?
I do. Just a good point.
Is that kind of like a different version of doing what Brad used to do? BK did on the Wheelhouse.
Oh yeah, he just said words funny.
Yeah,
I probably drove Paul crazy. I can't read some of these things that are being said on the text line about Paul, but I don't think these lowbrow jobs that you guys are texting in would be the job that Paul has. I think Paul is an elitist, very sophisticated. Or maybe he didn't hit his potential in life. I don't know.
Sadie peaked in high school? Specifically his English class?
Maybe. I don't know. Paul, text in. Let us know your job, 713-780-ESPN. And let us know that you're the real Paul by giving us the same criticism you gave us on the air. Somebody said middle school English teacher. That could be it. That could be it. Somebody else said great teacher.
Though?
Yeah, 352.
It'd be real close. Yeah. It'd be really close. I mean, being married
depends
to
on
a
the
teacher,
district, right?
They're rarely out, you know, 10 minutes after the kids are out.
I know high school in our district gets out at like a 2:30.
Yeah, middle
so
school, though.
The least,
I don't know if it's
school.
The same now, but when I was in middle school, we got out. That was like the latest time I ever got out. It was after 3, so it could obviously change with time in school districts. But
Fake Tony Stark says Paul has a radio show from noon to 3 on a local radio station. Different Paul, Fake Tony Stark. Different Paul. The Astros are going to lose more, fewer games in the previously past year. You're my kind of guy, 4558, or person. If our pitching stands and we don't go through all the injuries and all the ups and downs from the minors up, I think pitching would be better and we're going to win 94 games. So there's an optimistic outlook for the Astros win total.
Okay.
Let's see what else we have here. Texter said meaning they're going to win more. Some schools are out today, says a texter.
Are they?
They had that weird break.
They get a second President's Day?
I was going to say, Fort Bend was out Friday and Monday. Thank God they're back in today.
They have a weird break. Some districts have weird breaks. I'm excited to see Yordan take charge offensively and to watch Christian play. Pena's year to shine. Yeah, I'm interested to see Walker, see what he adds to this lineup. Hey, Branham, Winklevy is plural for Winklevoss. That's pretty funny. TSA agent, Paul?
I'm a stickler. I guess I could see the mindset, but
I'm thinking accounting or outside sales.
But to be that good at grammar?
I mean,
I don't know if you got to put together
a sales presentation.
Maybe he's a paleontologist.
Sales presentation? I don't know.
Potentially. The only TSA agent that ever recognized me in an airport off of my TikTok at Jeremy J. Branham. He was a very nice guy. I really like talking to him. Tell Paulette, call that other station. No, he can call us whenever. He's just not going to talk grammar. And we'll take Paul tomorrow if he wants. Branham, you're kind of a hypocrite. I'm not kind of a hypocrite. I am a hypocrite. You do that to Joel and Brian, and you say technically for a lot of things, too. I don't think I get on to y'all for grammar, though. If anything, y'all get on to me for grammar, which is fair. I'm not a grammar light. How many Joe Georges could you take at once? At least three.
In a fight?
Yeah, I could take at least three Joe Georges.
Hmm.
Really?
Yeah, he's slow.
Slow. You got the reach advantage. You got the height. Yeah, I think 2.5 to 3 is a good number.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with 3 for sure. How many Joes could you take? Blinkers. You got muscles and stuff.
I don't know. I mean, I think Joe still played sports when he was younger, and he's got Cam now. And with
he grew up in Chicago.
I mean, he's dropping weight and he's getting in shape on a daily basis. He's getting
better.
He's back
to his pre-pandemic weight.
That is true.
Yeah.
You got to factor in Cam.
That's a good point. I forgot about his trainer Cam, but he also says it like very fast. Like he says trainer Cam instead of like my trainer Cam. So it sounds like he's recording himself training.
Those are the worst people too. The people with the cameras in the gym.
I guess
so
I'm kind
wrong.
Of getting on to Paul. I guess this texture is right. I am a hypocrite. I'm getting on to Joe for his grammar when he
you
talks.
Are. You are.
I am a
for
hypocrite.
For an inaudible
good point.
Comma, you're getting on yeah. to him about.
Those inaudible commas, though, are a big deal.
They are. They can completely change the meaning of a sentence, for sure.
I see what you're talking about, though, texture. Hey, you're right. I'm not kind of a hypocrite. I'm very much a hypocrite. All right, let's go out to the HR&P list. Listener line, Willie, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up, Willie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Always.
I hope the Astros win at least 86.5 games. And a person that really don't care too much about offense, I don't care if they win each game by 1-0. I care more about giving up unearned runs and errors and throwing the ball in the well at Julius than I do about almost anything else.
What did you just say?
Julius, did he say?
Throwing the ball at Julius.
Why do you care so much about that?
Unearned runs and extra pitches. You know, I really believe pitching and defense win ball games.
All right. Appreciate it, Willie. What did he mean about Julia?
Someone threw balls at Julia?
I don't really know where he's going with that.
At first, I thought he said Julius. I don't know.
No, he meant Julia. I'm pretty sure you meant Julia. Okay. I don't know. 713-780-ESPN. Soriano says Paul is an English teacher / middle school softball coach. That could be true. And he's talking about like optimizing his lineups of like these middle school softball players. Although there's not middle school softball, is there?
Not in public schools, anyways. Nope.
Uh-huh. Maybe private schools. So maybe he's a private school. Middle school,
yeah, private
English
school.
Teacher,
private
school softball
middle
coach.
Middle school softball?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there's some private schools in Houston that have baseball. So if there's private schools in Houston that have baseball, Title IX, I mean, I'm just totally making this stuff up now.
You're really totally making it up.
Oh, yeah. I think I could very easily be lying right through my teeth right now. Now, there's probably middle school softball for some private schools. I do believe that's true. I'm only like a 60% degree of confidence here. But that's where I'm at. I think it's 60% likely that private middle schools in Houston, some, have softball, if it's funded, like Brian said. Because I know there's baseball. I do know there's baseball middle school, private school.
Huh, okay. Yeah, I guess I wasn't aware of that. I just thought that softball starts in high school.
Yeah. Oh, Todd said it does publicly, Blankers.
Oh, okay.
For publicly, for sure. But I think that some private schools might have it. Todd, the show said Willie meant bad throws to the dugout. He's saying errors. Oh, okay. Okay, that's a weird way to say errors, but I got you. Makes some sense. So it looks like most people think that they're going to win more than 88 games.
Yeah, I think, look, I think that it was a very uncharacteristic start last season. They dug themselves a huge hole. They were able to dig their way out of it and turn the whole thing around in what was just a fantastic turnaround. Do I expect them to get into that slow start again? No. Do I think that there's enough on this team to win and avoid that? Yes.
Yeah. Before O Athletic, I think you can take like 5 Joes. Nowadays, maybe like 3. That really speaks to the brilliance of O Athletic. If they can turn Joe into like twice of who he was, that's a big deal. Texter says it was an attempt at a joke for so many errors. Talking about Willie, he's saying that the ball is thrown at Julia. It was an overthrow and an error. Okay. Yeah, I guess it was a subtle, sophisticated joke, and this is not the show for intellectuals. We know that. Whenever they talk about the Killer Bees, they say, you is dumb, you is ignorant, you is unimportant. We know that about the Killer Bees. HISD does have middle school softball. My daughter's game got canceled today. Oh, interesting. Oh, okay. I didn't know that a public school had that. There are private schools that have rugby. Yeah. I think the caller's point was they gave up too many earned runs last year.
A lot of field hockey in middle school and high school. A lot of field hockey and lacrosse, yes.
Really?
Yep.
Weird. Brandon T., I think Willie means Julius sits close to the dugout. He doesn't want bad throws to first and errors in general. That went over our head because we is dumb. I thought he said
Julius at first. I was like, the doctor is somehow in a baseball conversation?
713-780-ESPN. The franchise tag window in the NFL opens today. Texans probably don't have any candidates unless you think there's one. Who is it? But there are some interesting ones around the league. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.